Look at a very familiar passage. Many of us grew up with this passage, but I hope that God will give us some insight today that may be a little different than what you've seen before. Maybe it's the same. But I want to ask you to stand one more time for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23. And so today we're going to look at the first three verses, all right? So if you're physically able to stand, let's honor God as I read these three verses in your hearing, and then let's see what God would have us to learn from them. You know it. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen." Father, help us now to see, to discern what you're saying to your people. Help us to hear from you directly and to apply it personally. And then, Lord, grant us the grace to order our lives according to your will and your way for your glory and for the benefit of our own souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject today is I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, this psalm is a personal psalm. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Willie? Because you see David using words like my, right? The Lord is who? My shepherd, right? And he leads me. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So this is personal. In this regard, David is, you know, a lot of times David is saying what God does for us, right? And what he's done for you. But there are times in every Christian's life when you have to personalize your testimony. It's what God has done for you, right? And so this is one of those psalms where we get to look over David's shoulder, if you will, and see, read his mail, or if you will, see what's going on inside his heart. And I thank God for that. That's where this record that we have left here called the Bible, it allows us to look into people's lives and see things that we never would know, yes? So this is a personal psalm. It addresses the relationship between the spiritual shepherd and the sheep, all right? And so most of us, when you read it, you already apply it. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, you know you apply that spiritually, right? And when you think about sheep, you apply that to yourself. So it's a spiritual, it's a natural analogy that has spiritual meaning, right? So it addresses a real relationship between the spiritual shepherd and the sheep, the real relationship between the Lord and the Christian. Now, the amazing thing is that this psalm presents the shepherd as a provider, right? The shepherd is a protector. The shepherd is peace, and he's a guide. He's a healer. The protector is righteousness, and I mean the shepherd is righteousness and comfort and eternal and our eternal home. And so, when we personalize this relationship with Jesus, you need to find in him that he really is everything you need, right? Jesus is everything you need. You will never leave Jesus lacking. Right? Everything. He will fill you up until your cup, what? It overflows, and there's still more. It's like one of my favorite preachers. I believe he was English, and he gave this analogy. He said, getting to know the Lord is like getting in a rowboat and getting out in the middle of the ocean with a teacup. You can dip that cup down in there and your cup will be full, but what? There's still way more ocean. And that's the way it is in dealing with God. He just keeps bringing grace, wave upon wave, and a wave of love, wave of mercy. He just keeps bringing it because that shepherd is everything you'll need, my brother, my sister. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we dive into this. And therefore, this psalm gives encouragement and hope to every true sheep or every Christian. And I hope that you will embrace that now. I'm just going to unpack it a little bit because, again, most of you learned this in Sunday school. You've had this song with you a long time. But there's a thing about watching a familiar movie. It's always you seem to always see something a little different when you go back through it, right? And that's all I want us to do today. I'm not treating you as if you've never heard this before. We're just going to rehearse it together, right? And I hope that when we rehearse it, we'll all find some encouragement and joy. The thing I want you to see in these three verses is that it's important that we remember that we know who God is, and you remember that you know what God does. This is what's going to encourage you when you're hurting. This is what's going to encourage you while you're in the midst of trials. This is what's going to encourage you when no one else can encourage you. You need to know and remember who God is and remember what he does. Because even your own mind can be telling you things that are wrong. And so you need to talk to your own soul, right? Like David says, bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. You need to make sure that you're giving the right information to your soul. So know who God is and know what God does, and that'll bring you encouragement. Let's unpack it this way. When you think about knowing who God is, the first thing that we're presented with is that he's the Lord, right? The first thing that you find as you begin Psalm 23 is what? The Lord is my shepherd. It's the Lord. And so that's where we begin. What was David doing? He wanted God to be right at the beginning. He didn't start out by talking about me and mine. He starts out by talking about the one that matters, the one who is the stability, the solid rock. He's the firm foundation. So you start out on something solid when you're dealing with issues. And we need to remember that in prayer. Don't always take your stuff to God. In your prayer, don't always start out talking about your issues. Amen. When you want to be encouraged in prayer, start talking about the Lord. Start rehearsing in your mind who God is. Well, he's the mighty one. He's the one that can do anything you want in your own mind when you start to pray. You want God to be regal and royal and mighty before you start laying out your issues, right? And so that's what David does. He begins with what? The Lord. It's the Lord. A believer's assurance is based on what we know to be true. Always remember that, my friend. Every trial that you go through, you're going to have bad information to come in. Know that? You're going to get bad advice from some people. You need to sift through all of that to get to what is true. Yeah? And so our assurance is based on what we know to be true. We know that the Lord is God. By the way, the Lord, the word for the Lord there is that tetragrammaton. Yeah, that's what this, you see that YHWH, that's called a tetragrammaton. Because in the Hebrew, they didn't put any vowels in there because they didn't want the name to be pronounced. They felt that God's name was so holy. God's name is so holy, you don't need to pronounce it. Isn't that amazing? And how have we lost that holiness in our own lives, in our own heart? But when the vowels are put in there, that's pronounced Yahweh. That's the word that's translated the Lord there, right? The tetragrammaton. And it's the most common name frequently used in the Bible for God. It's a personal name. Personal name. So when he says the Lord, it means this is personal. When you say the Lord, that means he's personal to you. When you say the name of Jesus, that's different. A lot of people use Jesus' name in vain, but when you say Jesus, that's personal. Because at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee is going to bow. And you're saying, I'm bowing now. So the name of Jesus is personal to us. Everything good starts with the Lord. Everything good comes from the Lord, right? He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And when we think about his name, all of that truth about God should give me encouragement and hope. So even when I begin my prayer with the Lord, I begin my prayer in encouragement and hope. Because simply me talking about my issues is not going to bring me encouragement and hope. That's the reason the Lord, when he said, when he taught us to pray, he says, what? Our Father, what? Who is in heaven. You want to deal with God first and then bring your issues in, right? And so this encouragement, as we look at the Lord, we find as we look at him first, we do get encouraged. And then he moves from there to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And so a believer also knows that he or she has a personal relationship with the Lord, right? You have to know that. You have to know that you have this personal relationship. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd. That doesn't mean that God belongs to me. It simply means I have a real relationship with him. Yes? And so this is so wonderful for the Christian who's facing issues. Why? Because the believer here is presented as a sheep. A sheep is weak, right? If you've ever studied sheep in their natural habitat, a sheep is weak. A sheep is defenseless. That's the reason they need a shepherd, is to defend them, right? A sheep is careless. A sheep wanders. They trust that the shepherd has put them in a place that's safe and they can just wander around free. That's the reason they oftentimes wander off and what? Get lost. And that's the reason you see the shepherd who will leave the 99 and what? Go find the one that's wandered off. Because a sheep can be enjoying life and just drift on away. They're careless. And every one of us will say, yeah, I've done that. Haven't you? Haven't we drifted off course? And then wonder, what am I doing over here? Why am I thinking like this? Yes? And so the shepherd then, when we think about our relationship to him, this sheep, we need a shepherd to provide personal care for us. Now you notice, the Lord is not described as a king here, right? He's not described as a judge. He's not described as a potter or the master or the creator. But the Lord here is described as the shepherd. All of these ways God could have been described, David did not say the Lord is my judge. He did not say the Lord is my king. Now he does in other places. But right here, he says, the Lord is my shepherd because he's the one that cares for me. And I need that kind of personal, intimate care. There's times that you've tried to explain yourself to people. And they just, even as hard as they try, they can't understand. But when you go to the Lord, there's times that you don't even have the words to say. And he can already encourage you, I know where you are. Isn't that good? That's the kind of shepherd that we have. The Lord is our shepherd. Because the Lord then is my shepherd, he takes care of me and I shall not want. So that's the issue. Then is, first of all, you know who God is. Secondly, you see in verses 2 and 3, we must know what God does. Number one, he provides. You see that in verse 2? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay? He provides. There's the old Hebrew terminology for that is Jehovah what? Jireh, right? The Lord provides. So the Lord is willing and able to provide all the needs of his sheep individually. That's the reason David could say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He didn't say he makes what? Us. Because this is what? Personal. My brother, my sister, you got to get personal with the Lord. You have to have that time alone where it's personal with the Lord. It's fine for us to be together corporately, pray corporately, but you need private time alone with God so you can do some self-assessment and you can see, God has met my needs. I may not have all that I desire, but God, I can say with confidence, God has never failed to meet my needs. You need to do that kind of assessment so that you can grow in your hope and your as you face many more trials in life. It's the Lord that makes me lie down in green pastures. He's the one that's done it. I didn't do this on my own. I didn't stay on a job. I don't know how long you were on your job, but I know I didn't keep myself there. It had to be the grace of God. He knew I needed to eat. He knew I needed to have my needs met. He knew my family had needs, and he made me lie down in green pastures all those years in the workplace. And then he makes a plan. Now, this is in the United States. I don't know what they do in other countries, but he works out a plan so that you can have Social Security and a pension. And you see? Who did that? You didn't do that.
Right.
America didn't come up. God is making sure that our needs are met.
Amen.
And for the one who has a real relationship with him, you can say that he did that for me.
Yes.
Wasn't my college education. It wasn't this or that. It wasn't because I was so good. It's because God is so merciful. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. He provides. He provides. Now, here's what I want you to remember. He provides our needs, body, soul, and spirit. Not only does God give us food and drink and houses, but there's times in your soul you know that nobody can satisfy your soul but the Lord. There's times that you know you need the Lord to meet you in your soul. You need him to feed you. As it was their old song, Bread of Heaven? What? Bread of Heaven. What? Feed me. What? Till I want no more. Because nobody can feed my soul but the bread. Nothing satisfies my soul but the bread of heaven. Yeah? And so God satisfies. Even though there's one place in the scriptures where we're presented as body, soul, and spirit, most of the places in the spirit and in the Bible we're presented as body and soul, you know, physical and spiritual, right? So God provides all my physical needs, and he provides what? All my spiritual needs. You get it? He makes me lie down. And so the whole idea then with this green pastures is that God gives confidence and peace with his provisions. There's an interesting verse. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I think I wrote it down here. You see that Proverbs 15? I don't know if you've ever seen that, but make note of that. Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17. Listen to it. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Now, you got to think that one through. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord or the joy of the Lord or the peace of the Lord than great treasure with trouble with it. Think of all of the celebrities and sports stars and all. They have just multitudes of money, but their lives are riddled with what? Trouble. The trouble that comes with the money, the wealth, wasn't worth it. And God is saying to you as a Christian, it's better to be satisfied with the little I give you that has peace with it than to desire the riches outside you, in the world, and all of the trouble that comes along with it. You see verse 17? Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. You see it? You get the point here? God gives these green pastures to us. It's this place where we can actually find peace and confidence. You remember when Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray in us vicariously, he said, give us what? This day our daily bread. Why did he say that? I need to be satisfied with my needs being met what? Today, because I'm trusting God to meet my needs today, and when tomorrow comes, I'll trust him to meet him tomorrow and the next day, right? Don't be anxious about what tomorrow has. Tomorrow has enough what? Cares of its own. Just be thankful today. And every Christian here should rehearse in your own mind. There's a song that I made it. You didn't make it on your own. You made it because God brought you here. He brought you through. All of us have had peaks and valleys. Paul said, I've learned to be tender. I've had times that I've had, what, plenty? And I've had times that I had very little. And every Christian knows what that means. But all along the way, God still met my needs. That's the point. You get it? And so these green pastures say to us that we can have peace and confidence with whatever God gives us. The point, as I leave this idea of him providing, is that God doesn't want the Christian to be hustling. You're not a hustler. You don't have to hustle for life, right? We're not scheming. We're not deceiving. What are we doing? We are trusting the Lord. We're trusting the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going to trust him. Trust in the Lord, how? With all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. That's the idea. I'm going to trust God to provide all my needs. So not only does he provide, but he guides. Let me get back over here to Psalm 23. He provides and he guides. So you see at the second sentence there in verse 2, he leads me beside still waters. And the second sentence in verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads. He guides. That's the whole idea here. The Lord leads us by his word and his spirit. This isn't just some mystical thing that's going on. God has left us his mind, his will here. And for those of us in our day and time, we are so blessed to have a record, a record that God has preserved for us to know and weigh what's true in life, right? He has revealed his mind and his will. So by his word and his spirit, he guides and he leads me so that I can test the spirit. Someone comes to me and tell them that they're doing one thing or another and that God is leading them. If it doesn't line up with the word, then it can't be of the spirit. The word and the spirit, what? Never contradict each other. It's the same source. Yes? And so the Lord leads us by his word and his spirit to places where I can find peace in this old troubled world. In this old twisted and fallen world, God leads me to the place of peace. It begins Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. I'm no longer at war with God. And I didn't know I was at war until he saved me. I was trying to hide in those clubs and hide behind black lights and hide behind liquor and this thing and that thing, staying high. I didn't realize that I was trying to hide. I couldn't hide, but I was what? It was just as vain as Adam and Eve putting on some leaves thinking they could hide from God. Right. Me trying to hide in that darkness was just as vain, because darkness is and light is what? Is the same to God. He saw me just as clearly when I was trying to hide as he did once he brought me into the light. So it begins with me having peace with God. I'm no longer at war with God. I'm no longer fighting him. I have surrendered. You can't be saved unless you come to that point, to where you're no longer fighting God. Now, we all have to grow in obedience. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you not fighting him anymore to have full control of your life. You now admit, I cannot do anything I want to do. I've got a lot of growing to do, but I've already come to that point. I can't do what I want to do. So it starts with peace with God. Then, once I'm at peace with God, I can accept what I call a rocking chair verse. Romans 8:28 is a rocking chair verse, right? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. We know that. Why? Because I'm not fighting God anymore. All right. I'm at peace with him. And I haven't surrendered as fully as I should. But I'm learning that he causes all things to work together for my good. I'm learning to stop fighting him. This trial is hard. This situation is hard. but I'm going to trust God. He says that it's working for my good. I'm going to trust him, right? And then I learned that if I would present these things to God in prayer, you remember Philippians 4? Be anxious for nothing but what? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Peace comes because I am willing to take my issues to the Lord in prayer. Rather than always talking to each other about them. People can't solve your issues. The Lord can, and he may use people to help, but it's the Lord who solves them, you see? So I take that to the Lord in prayer, and he gives me peace in this troubled world. That's how he guides. That's how he leads. He also leads us in ways that will honor him. You see that verse 3? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. God does not want us to think we can just do what we want to do and get out of a situation. Many of us know how to get out of some of our situations. But if it doesn't glorify God, it's vain. He leads you in the paths of righteousness. When God gets done with a situation, it should glorify him, right? Not you. He leads me in the paths of righteousness in ways that honor him. We all experience trials. We all experience fears and dangers and anxiety. We all experience calamity. We all experience anger, grief, and distress in life. But the Lord shows us the way of peace. And as 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, he shows us the way of escape. Isn't that good? That is one of the great promises for those of you who are hurting right now. If you've never seen this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I believe it says, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except what? That which is common to man. But God is what? Faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with that temptation, make a way of what? Escape. So that you're able to bear up. God is saying, I've got a way for you to get through this, but you got to do it my way. You got to trust me with all your heart and not lean to your understanding. And when the sheep and the shepherd have that good relationship, the sheep learn to listen to the shepherd. Yes? Learn to listen to the shepherd. So he provides, he guides, and then finally, he restores. The Lord knows when our souls are weary. Yeah, he does. He knows when our souls are fearful. You're just not sure what tomorrow is going to bring. He knows when your soul is discouraged or when you grieve. The Lord knows that. But then this psalm says he restores our joy.
Yes.
When you grieve, you don't have to fake it. There's sometimes our sin causes us grief. Remember what David said? Create in me a clean heart. Now this is after he has sinned, committed the sin of adultery, right? Create in me a clean heart, O God, right? And then he goes on to say, and restore what? The joy of your salvation. You see, I want to get back to that place of joy that you gave me when you saved me. He's not saying I'm not saved. No, no, I'm saved. I've got this good relationship with the shepherd, but my sin has got me in this place of grief. And now I'm grieving that I sinned. God has brought me to the point. Nathan has come and has caused me to see my sin. And I see how I dishonored God. I see how I affected other people. And I realize my heart needs to be cleansed. So he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Restore the joy. And that's what he does. And there's times that you realize, I'm not living like I live by faith. I'm operating by sight. I'm all I do is live on credit, or I live on this thing. I'm not trusting God with my finances. God restores your faith when you realize that you've been walking by sight too much. You're going to have to learn to live by faith. He restores your love. He restores. That's what he does. He's a good God, and he's a good shepherd. We cannot restore ourselves. Coming to church won't restore you. Reading your Bible won't restore you. Now, those are all good means. You need to do that. Prayer meeting won't restore you. Good Christian music won't restore you. Those are all good means, but it's just like healing. Pharmaceuticals can't heal you. Doctors can't heal you. Healing comes from who? The Lord, right? And so restoring, the restoration that we're talking about here, means that I cannot do this for myself. Other people can't do this for me. The Lord must do it. What are you saying, Brother Willie? What I'm talking about here is the heart. Nobody has domain on the heart but God. That's his territory. Working inside us is what the Lord does. He works on the inside. He works on the inner person. He works on the heart, the soul, and the spirit. And so when you know that God provides, he guides, and he restores, you can handle even the roughest things of life. And David knew that when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter how much you want me to know that. If you know it, you're just going to have to live in it and wait for God to show me, or vice versa. It doesn't matter how much I know that. I'm going to have to wait for God to reveal that to you. Me bringing this Bible and beating you with the Bible and throwing verses, that's not going to change. First of all, you've got to want it. You've got to want this kind of life. You've got to want this kind of peace. You've got to pursue the Lord for yourself. And we've got to learn how to be gracious with people while they get there. Everybody's not at the same place. Just because you're at the place where you can confidently say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," don't think everybody is there. But if you love people, you'll want everybody to be there. Yes? Want every Christian to be there. Because when you're enjoying this kind of lifestyle, don't you want others to enjoy it? But you've got to, just as God was gracious and merciful with you until you got there, you've got to learn to be gracious and merciful, what? With others until they get to the same place. Because the Lord is the same shepherd for them as he is for you. You get it? He hasn't changed just because they haven't made it. Yes. And so I'm saying to all of us, let's make this your personal desire, that you want to be at the place where you can really honestly know that the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I don't need to be hustling and fretting, angry all the time, fussy all the time, mistrusting people. You see, I don't need to. If the Lord is my shepherd, I can trust him. Yes. Why did the Bible say trust in the Lord with all your heart if he didn't mean for us to do it? Now, virtually every Christian in this building knows that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But are you willing to do it? I'm going to tell you this. It's risky. You say, "Well, Brother Willie, what are you talking about?" You've got to be willing to risk, not just a little bit. You've got to be willing to risk it all if you're going to trust the Lord. You can't hold back on some things. You see, most of the people in this room, again, we love to sing what? "I surrender all." Don't you? I surrender all. That's easy to sing, but it's challenging to live. Right? And so I'm saying to you that this man had learned to trust the Lord as a shepherd. It's not magic. It's not going to happen overnight. I'm 68 and I'm still learning. I don't, you know, we don't need to rattle off ages here, but the fact is, just age in and of itself doesn't mean that you're growing. But if you're a Christian, you ought to desire, I want to grow until the Lord takes me away from here, don't you?
Amen.
I want to grow in this. I want to be able to grow more and more in this fact that the Lord is my shepherd, that I can trust him. As I told you before, I mean, I got home, it looked like everything I own wanted to break. You know, washing, I ain't had a washer in 2 weeks. Every part I ordered won't work. You know, I got a sump pump that I ain't even had time to put in. And I went on and on and on. But the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not fretting over that. I remember a time in my life when I didn't have a washing machine. See, I don't know how you grew up. You? I certainly remember a time in my life when I didn't know what a sump pump was until I came to St. Louis. You see? And so we get to fretting over the wrong things and not trusting. And I'm not fussing. This is just life. We want to learn to love life and what? Have good days. All right. So that's my story. True sheep, or Christians, if you will, know that the Lord is God. True sheep or Christians know that the Lord is a personal shepherd. And it's Jesus who said, I am the good shepherd. That was Jesus who said that, right? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they what? Follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. So Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Hallelujah. There are other false shepherds, but Jesus is the good one. He's the holy one. Hallelujah. True sheep can honestly say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because he provides all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He guards me in all truth, and he restores the joy of his salvation to me. When I'm in need, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm in trouble, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm anxious and all tied up in knots, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm so angry, I don't know what to do, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm discouraged, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm grieved, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm wounded and weary, the Lord is my shepherd, and he cares for me. Therefore, I shall not want, because the Lord cares for me. Whatever I face in life, I shall not fret. I shall not worry. Why? Because the shepherd, the good shepherd, is with me. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never desert you. You'll never go through issues alone. That's my shepherd. He's with me all the time. He provides. He guides. He restores. And we're going to see more next week. We've just looked at these three verses right now. But he's not done. The good shepherd does so much more for us. Do you love him? I hope you love him.
Amen.
If you're not a Christian, ask God to open your understanding right now. Ask him to reveal the truth about Jesus Christ and about you. You see, because Jesus is the good shepherd. He is. There's no question about it. You don't need to doubt that, my friend, if you're not a Christian. He is the good shepherd. And he will forgive you of your sins, regardless of how few or how many they are. He will forgive you, and he will give you eternal life and hope. But you must believe in Jesus. Not with just a little bit of your heart. Believe him wholeheartedly. You must surrender to him. So will you trust Jesus today? And if you're already a Christian, I'm asking you, will you walk in this peace that we've talked about? Will you walk in this joy? Will you live in the joy? Or are you going to continue fretting yourself? Continue to be angry and frustrated? Continue to live a life that is not destined for you? Not destined for you. Lord, would you help us as we bow together now to work through these things in our own heart. For those of us that know you, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us as the Good Shepherd. Forgive us for the times that we live like you're not our shepherd, the times that we think like you're not our shepherd, the times that we speak like you're not our shepherd, the times that we act and react like you're not our shepherd. Restore now the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within us. Meet us now in our own hearts and encourage us to finish our race with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.